Harper Audio presents Not Young, Still Restless by Gene Cooper with Lindsay Harrison. This is Gene Cooper. To Corbin, Colin, and Karen, my three greatest accomplishments. Chapter 1. The Obligatory Beginning. I think Bill Cosby put it perfectly many years ago when he said, "I started out as a child." And so naturally, that is where my story begins. It never occurred to me at the time that there was anything unique about my childhood. Like most people, with nothing to compare it to, I assumed it was normal to move too often, to make lasting friendships, to have a cow as your closest confidant for a while, to be molested a couple of times, and to know with absolute certainty by the end of eighth grade what you wanted to be when you grew up. But since one of life's greatest lessons is that there's no such thing as normal, I'll go all the way back to the beginning, into some places I haven't explored in decades, and tell you all about it, even the parts that make me cringe. Don't you hate those autobiographies in which you know you're being lied to? I always find myself wondering why the author's bothered. I intend on sharing it all, even those moments I would prefer to forget. I made my first entrance on October 25th, 1928. In the beautiful little oil town of Taft, California. True to family tradition, my mother's mother, Grandma Moore, delivered me at home with the doctor standing by. There was no great rejoicing, no congratulatory cigars being passed round to all the menfolk, just a subdued resignation that Wilma Jean, the unplanned third child in the family, the one my mother occasionally referred to as the night the diaphragm didn't work, had arrived. Healthy, loud, and eager to live whether they liked it or not. My father, Robert Troy Cooper, was English and Cherokee Indian. My mother, Sildith Evelyn Moore, was Irish and Cherokee Indian. And they met in Oklahoma, where both families worked in the oil fields, and they were married after a fairly brief courtship. I used to wonder if Mother was already pregnant with my brother Jack on her wedding day. But by the time I got married, I had no stones to throw on that subject. Tragically, in Oklahoma in the early 1900s, full-blooded Native Americans, many of whom worked side by side with my father and my grandfather, were targets of cruel discrimination and the shameful epithet, "red niggers," by too many ignorant bigots and bullies. My very proud, very regal, very colorblind Grandma Moore was about to have her grandchildren raised in such an intolerant atmosphere. So, at her insistence, the Moores and the newlywed Coopers moved to Taft, where the men could pursue their oil careers and the family could thrive in the open-minded, harmoniously integrated West. It was such a great idea on paper. In practice, though, it was occasionally rough and scary and even life-threatening. I was too young to understand much of what was going on, but I know that my father and his business partner enraged some powerful people by being very outspoken advocates of equal pay for oil field workers of all races. I know that my father's business partner was murdered. I know that my mother and I hid in a ditch in a cotton field one day, with mother's hand over my mouth to keep me quiet, while some angry men looked for my father. And that my older sister Evelyn and I were rushed to the school basement when I was in second grade because someone was trying to scare my father by threatening to harm us. And I know that my father and my Grandpa Moore were good, brave, hardworking men who never backed down from or apologized for their beliefs, and I was proud of them. I wish I'd known my father better. He traveled for work much more than he was home, and when he was around, he seemed larger than life to me. Family vacations with him were adventures to such magnificent places as Yosemite and Sequoia and Kings Canyon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?